Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello to you and welcome. Another week, another show. And I can't believe, can you believe it, that we are already, the month of January 2024 is moving forward. And I trust that you have had an amazing end of the year, start of the year, and it's now getting in the daily routine again, I think. So it's maybe time for you and I to actually go and look, who are we going to be in 2024? Who do you want to be with? What exactly is your vision? What exactly is your intention for 2024? And I can't remember if I said it already, but my word for 2024 is expansion. It's all to do with expanding. And to expand, we have to be aware first. We have to be aware when we are in contraction. You cannot go into expansion if you are in contraction. And so I find that quite an interesting one, because today I'm going to talk to Christophe Speesens. Now, Christophe is a Belgian. He's born in Belgium, but he's been living already more than 20 years in the UK. But the story is actually quite funny, because I met Christophe's mother about 8 or 10 years ago already in a talk that I was giving to an organization, a women organization. She was sitting in there, and after my talk, she came to me to talk about her son, of course, because we have a little bit in common. Christophe is also in the world of personal development, but most of all in the world of mindfulness. And she said to me that he had written a book, and I bought the book. And so isn't it amazing that so many years later, somebody is contacting me to say, are you interested in interviewing Christophe Speesens? Because he has, in the meantime, I mean, you know, we're talking now years later, he is a published author, a certified coach, an accredited mindfulness teacher with over 15 years of learning and development experience. And so he is even the founder of the second biggest mindfulness event in the UK, called the Manchester Mindfulness Festival. And his vision is very simple: to organize an event in central Manchester that makes mindfulness more accessible and inclusive to both beginner and advanced practitioners. Now, why did I accept this interview? First of all, because to me, it's full circle. And so I'm really curious to talk to Christophe. I haven't spoken to him, so I'm really interested in seeing what is his vision. How does he explain mindfulness to us? Because we all know in the beginning, in the start of 2024, being mindful in this year, 2024, can be a beautiful thing to do. It's all about awareness, if you ask me. Being aware is one of the most beautiful promises and goals that you can set, you know, for yourself. Because promise yourself to be mindful this year, to be aware of your thoughts, of your actions, of your feelings. And I'm sure we're going to talk about that. But I can't wait to talk to Christopher, because in the beginning of this year, I do believe that we can all use some mindfulness advice on how to practice it and what exactly it is, because there's so much out there around mindfulness, but what it is exactly and how Christophe sees that. Because being the expert in mindfulness, you know that I love talking to experts, because most of them have had amazing experiences to go from stress to authentic success. And I'm sure that Christophe is one of them. So after this little break, I'm going to talk to Christophe Speesens about everything that has to do with mindfulness. So to inspire you and motivate you to look into it, if it can be something for you. Wherever you are in the world, it's not because Christopher has his event in Manchester that you cannot start and practice it, because there is so much opportunity out there. Mindfulness has become one of the best practices to be aware, to actually even go from stress to authentic success. I use it so much in my life, so I trust that this conversation will help you, motivate you, and inspire you to go and find out everything about mindfulness. Talk to you just now after this little break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. And I am talking today to someone really special because we have done full circle here. I met Christoph's mom and I bought his book years ago. And so today he's, look here, who's here talking to me. Welcome, Christoph Spiesens.
Thank you for having me. It's a delight to be here.
I can't believe I'm actually really doing this with you, because isn't it amazing how the universe works? And so in this show, From Stress to Authentic Success, Christoph, I'm really excited to talk to you because we hear so much about mindfulness and so many people talk about it. So many people think they do it. Can you give us a little bit, an introduction maybe to mindfulness, to what real mindfulness means to you, what it is to you?
I'd be delighted to. And of course, it's a huge question to start our conversation with. But I can try from the angle of how I understand it. But it is as comprehensive as explaining love or art, for example.
I agree.
So you will hear different people sharing different opinions. But if I had to explain it in a nutshell, I would say it's awareness. It's a sort of being aware that actually there's a lot going on in your mind, in your body, around you. So internally, externally, and you are aware that this is going on. And through that awareness, you can press the pause button eventually. You can learn to press the pause button. And so you create a little bit of space between you and whatever it is that is going on, be it your mind doing its thing on what tends to be called autopilot. It is always thinking about the past, the future. It's always away with the fairies. Mm-hmm. It's doing stuff. And we can learn to recognize that. And then through the recognizing it, through becoming aware, we have an opportunity to explore what it might be like to press the pause button and have a little bit of space between us and the stimuli.
Wow. And give me a little bit of background on your journey on how mindfulness became so important to you personally. How did you get in that world of mindfulness?
Yeah, that's not necessarily a pretty picture, but perhaps a scenario that many people can resonate with. I had so many years ago here in Manchester, where I'm based, because I am from Belgium originally, but I've been based in Manchester for 20 years. I had a panic attack on a tram home after work. And I was a happy person and I was successful in my work. I was happy in my work. I had friends. Things were good. I had a partner. I still have that same partner. We're married now. And yet this very unpleasant event happened to me. And I just knew that I had to look into this. This didn't happen without a good reason. And I did. So I started looking into it and I got some help. And I rediscovered mindfulness. And I really took a more serious interest in it and began studying it. And so that's the long story short in a nutshell. And this is why, and I think that's kind of, it fits nicely within the framework of your show, Danielle, because it was a stressful event.
And what was the trigger? Can you share a little bit personal about that? What was the trigger that you had the panic attack? What was the stress? What was the chronic stress? What was going on? Because you're talking about, I was happy. So was there no real trigger? Was there no real chronic stress going on?
Because often these things happen because they are the result of a buildup of stuff that has been going on. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so maybe some of that stuff was unaddressed, unidentified, pressed down, all of these things. So for sure, and I don't kind of want to go into personal stuff, but there was, for sure, there were issues that sort of came together and triggered that that event. Yeah.
So it was a buildup of stress or things. And then the trigger, there was sometimes it's even, I had many panic attacks, and sometimes it's a little trigger that has no big meaning that can actually start the panic attack. So how did you, studying the mindfulness, anyone having a panic attack here today, so many people, I'm sure anyone listening today who has panic attacks, what would you suggest that, how could mindfulness be a help to them?
Yeah, so the first thing that I have to stress is that I'm not a clinical psychologist. I'm a general, you know, I'm someone from the general public who has a massive interest in mindfulness and I'm qualified to teach it, but I'm not a clinical psychologist. So please.
But do you have to be to respond to the question, you think?
Well, I can share from my experience.
That's what I mean.
Not from a clinical experience.
Yes.
And that's really important to say. What you will notice is, two things. You will notice stress levels rising within you through mindfulness. This is not going to happen overnight, but through practice. And when you do that for some time, the stress won't be rising to such a level where it may trigger a panic attack or a wobble or whatever you want to call it. So you can take action sooner, more frequently, which prevents the buildup of stress or whatever it might be that is contributing to what may become a panic attack. So that would be my answer to that. And that's what you can learn through mindfulness. You become more aware initially also of the things that you don't want to be aware of course, because you open the door to getting more close up to stuff that you don't want to get close up to. But here's the thing, and this is really important with mindfulness. It's not just about awareness. It's about kindly awareness. And that means that you pay attention in a specific way with a sense of curiosity, with a sense of interest in your experience, with a sense of compassion, if you can get there. That might take a little longer. But so it's a special way of, I'm feeling this unpleasant feeling in my chest, or I'm feeling the butterflies in my belly. And
is it like a surrender thing? Is it like a surrender kind of acceptance kind of to surrender to the feeling? No.
So it's about how I pay attention to those butterflies, not just noticing the butterflies.
Okay.
But like, okay, these sensations are here. Do they shift? Do they stay? Does their intensity change? What about the duration? Do they move across the body? And so you become interested in your experience rather than being, I'm going to use this word very purposefully, perhaps not the right word, but rather than being a victim to it, you become a bit of a researcher of your experience. And so through that, a sense of surrendering, I wouldn't call it surrendering, but I know what you mean. I think I know what you mean. Will change how you relate to your experience rather than from it.
So what I hear is really that you go and really feel. It's about the feeling, is it?
Mindfulness should actually be called bodyfulness. It's through the body that we get a better insight into the workings of the mind.
I agree.
And this is not, perhaps not for this call, but the first of the four foundations of mindfulness is mindfulness of the body. which is why all mindfulness-based programs, so the longer courses, usually around 8 weeks, start with practices such as the body scan. They're heavily body-based practices. Absolutely.
Which we need because we are so much living in our head. So for me, mindfulness is one of the advantages of mindfulness is that people learn to go into their body and not stay into their head. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And you'll have people listening who think that that's the body is the last place I want to go to.
I agree.
I do everything I can to not be with my body. So in case they are wondering how mindfulness will help, this is, again, it's about paying kindly attention to your body and to the experience. And it's a lot to unpack on this call. Mm. So it's beyond the scope of this call, but that's the invitation to explore mindfulness. Yeah.
Wow. And so in this conversation, what can you tell anyone listening who has been hearing about mindfulness but never really got into it? What would you say is one of the biggest benefits of mindfulness? If you do the real one, the kindly, you know, the as you describe it, what would be one of the biggest benefits?
So again, that's a huge question. it depends on your intention.
Okay.
Really, what brings somebody to mindfulness?
Mm.
Do you want to work more skillfully with chronic pain? Do you want to feel more connected to life in general?
Yes.
You see, those are two completely different things. So the biggest benefit for me would be, awareness, really.
Mm.
Awareness into your own, into yourself, into life even, you know, into your everyday life. Where are we sabotaging ourselves? Where can we be kinder to ourselves? And when we do these things, perhaps this is the real biggest benefit, is other people benefit from the changes in you as well.
That's wonderful. Mm.
And mindfulness has this reputation of a very selfish thing to do. You know, it's very me-centered, isn't it? It's me-focused. And there is, of course, you do the work, you do the practice. But it can have a really beautiful ripple effect, and it can inspire people around you as well.
Can you give an example of that? How it can, or maybe in your life, how it has?
So I've noticed in my coaching work, in my teaching work, because I do a lot of corporate learning and development work, when I can be aware, so whether I'm in front of a group of 200 people or two people or just one person, whatever it might be, if I can be aware of how I am in the moment, and through that awareness, I can ground myself, I can feel more balanced, I can slow down, I can actually hold space much better for the people that I'm serving. I can be more empathic because I can step out of the way. I can step out of my own way, so to speak. And it really can, I'm not saying always, but it can enhance the quality of the interaction between me and the people I work with. Does that give you, is that an answer to your question?
Yeah.
Danielle? Is that one? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But you know, you're talking now about a little bit about professional life, but how does that, the fact that you have the ripple effect, is it the same?
It's the exact same thing. Whether it's a student or a CEO of a company or a friend or a stepmother-in-law, it's the exact same thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Beautiful. So can you...
Including you.
Can you give me a little bit your journey from stress from that moment you were so stressed and panic attack up, and we're talking years later, the person who you have become through practicing mindfulness. And so how would you describe this journey for you at this moment? Where are you for yourself, coming from that far up until now? Are you living authentic success? What is success and authentic success to you?
You're asking some really beautiful and big questions. So here's the thing. This is mindful self-compassion in action. I'm not going to go back to where I was 10 years ago.
I agree.
And paint a bad picture of where I was then. Because where I was then, however I was then, was the authentic version of who I was in that moment, at that time. Exactly. So has there been a change? Gosh, of course, there has been so many changes. Do I feel more authentic than I am, than I was then? I feel differently authentic. Mm. I'm aligned to how I am and who I am now. You know, and so that's what I mean by being kind to ourselves,
mm-hmm.
Rather than comparing old and new. And you know,
no, but it's a journey. I mean, the journey. It's not the comparing that I mean. I mean the journey from the growth, the expansion, the calmness.
Yeah. But it's very much,
you know,
a
when
part
you
of
talk,
it.
I don't know if when I would have talked to you, I find that interesting. 20 years ago,
yeah.
Do you talk the same way? I don't think so. Do you? And it's again, it's not comparing, but I'm just wanting to say to the audience, what I see is the calmness, the gentleness, the softness, the compassion. Were you that person already before, or is that thanks to your journey and mindfulness?
It is thanks to my journey and mindfulness. Mm. Yes.
And that's for me, you see, that's the journey for me. That's what I mean with the journey from stress to authentic success a little bit. So you, I think it's very interesting that you are saying authenticity for me. I've always been my authentic self. I found that a very interesting subject. but can you just tell me and anyone listening, today, here and now, when you are coaching, when you are teaching, when you are, what exactly is your mission and your passion, your purpose?
To make mindfulness more accessible to people. There are many wonderful people who have been doing this for many, many years. People without whom I wouldn't be teaching what I'm teaching, because they were my teachers. I've read their books. But yeah, the going from the looking after your mental well-being and therefore your physical well-being and your spiritual well-being, whatever you want to call it, and include in that experience, that's possible. And it's possible through mindfulness as one approach to improving your well-being. Yeah. And for me, that was a really impactful approach. So that's why I do what I do, if that's the question, then yes.
Let's talk about the festival, because what made you, what inspired you to create the Manchester Mindfulness Festival?
Yeah, that very same reason. It really is, but just on a bigger scale. It was my pebble in the mindfulness pond, and I had to drop that pebble, and the ripples are being created by people attending and then feeling inspired and taking mindfulness out into the world within their communities, within their contexts. So that's my why.
And so the festival, describe a little bit what's going on there. Is it a 1 day, 3 day? What? Because I don't know any details about that.
So it's a 1 day event at the Bridgewater Hall here in Manchester. And we bring together thought leaders, but also lesser known mindfulness experts who give talks on mindfulness, of course, within different contexts. And it's a great opportunity for people new, more advanced, really into mindfulness, not at all into mindfulness, to come and explore and connect with like-minded people and learn and practice. Yeah, that's
and what have you learned out of that? What have you learned from doing that? Because we all learn beautiful lessons from following your passion and following your mission and bringing the festival into the world. What have you learned from that? What has it given to you?
So thank you for asking that question. I get a lot out of it before the event has even taken place. So it's the organizing, the planning, the finding the speakers, the putting a team together, a team of volunteers, because it's a not-for-profit event. And so there's already a lot in it for me in the process of putting the event on. But It's hearing afterwards what people have gotten out of it and how they take it forward and share it, like I said, with their communities or families or friends. So that's satisfying. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And so is it growing? Because how many years? 3 years now?
Yeah. We've done 3 editions. Yes.
Mm.
And it is growing. Absolutely.
Beautiful. Do you have any intentions of doing it somewhere else than there?
Well,
that's maybe a tricky question. Maybe, I don't know.
So for now, the focus is firmly on Manchester by choice, because other places in the UK and, of course, London, especially, there are many mindfulness related events. However, many of those, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but many of those include well-being concepts and approaches that are not necessarily mindfulness. So what we pride ourselves on with the Manchester Mindfulness Festival is that we are quite keen to respect the integrity of mindfulness. And it's a mindfulness festival. It's not a well-being festival.
Mm, that's beautiful.
Mindfulness is one way of boosting our well-being.
Mm. And what is your next, do you have another vision? Is that now your purpose, and does that stay your purpose? Because I didn't know you before, you know, I heard mm-hmm. from your mother who you were, but that's so many years ago. And now I read you're a coach, you're an author, can you just give us a little bit of an idea of how mindfulness is more to you than just a festival, to organizing the festival? How do you practice it or teach it, or how are you living it?
Okay, so the first part of your question, or where I believe you were going to go with this, is what's next for you? Something
yes.
to that tune. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So
sorry,
that's slightly different from
the
second. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So let's go there. And I'm going to answer again from my experience, from my authentic current self experience, is that I don't know. I don't know.
That's great.
And I don't want to know. I have ambitions. I have intentions. But if mindfulness has taught me anything, it's that it's about this moment. So for now, my attention is hopefully 100% on this call with you.
Mm.
You know, I have some.
I love that.
I have some, yeah, like I'm completing my master's degree in teaching mindfulness. I'm writing my dissertation. That takes up a lot of my time and my focus. Let's get that over and done with first, mm. shall we? And then the next thing. Life is but a sequence of stepping stones. And we are very, very great. Privileged to even have a second stepping stone. So I'm not too, I used to, like many, many years ago, be, and that's normal because you're young and I was a lot younger than I am now. You want to know where life is headed and this and that, and look at the stress that creates in people. This needing to know your purpose, this needing to know where you're going. I didn't. And with hindsight, this is what I meant by the now version of me. I can see why not knowing then is why I can do what I do today.
Has been very helpful and is still
Absolutely.
Very helpful today.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because otherwise we're again in our head.
And you remove self-imposed pressure.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong. It's not about not being ambitious.
Yes, and not having goals or... Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. It's about being with those goals. You walk hand in hand with your goals rather than those goals dragging you forward and you are exhausting yourself in the process.
I agree. Beautiful. So would you say that you are living mindfulness? And I mean, practicing it daily in your own life, continue. Is it a part of your life, part of you maybe?
I'd like to say so. I am hopefully modest enough to say that I can't say that for sure.
Mm.
I can do my best. Mm. And that's all we can do in mindfulness.
Mm.
There is a saying in mindfulness that we often use in practices when we guide practices, as best you can. Do this as best you can. And what that does, it takes away the striving aspect of it. It just means in this moment, as best you can. Come in with an intention that's helpful. Put in some effort, but not too much. So from that angle, am I living mindfully? Yes. Am I missing many, many things in my life? For sure. Can I be mindful with that negative self-talk? That's where the mindfulness comes back in. It's like it's okay to miss out on things. Mm. I'm a human being. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm not a robot.
Oh, great.
Can I do a little bit more maybe every day? Just a little bit more.
And so is that the statement that you mostly live by, as best you can? Is that, because I always ask towards the end of the interview, most of the time I try to ask the question, is there any statement, quote, that you live by that is important to you and that you could give to? And some people have 5 or 6 quotes, other people have just one word. So I'm curious to see, you've told us already, as best you can is a beautiful one, but is there another one?
Yeah, it's courtesy of my granddad, my late granddad.
Oh.
One day at a time. One day at a time. I know your listeners won't, not all of your listeners will understand this, but he used to say to me, "Een dagske menne keer," which is, and I was a toddler, I was a child, I was a teenager, and every time I would leave his house, he would say to me, "One day at a time." Mm. And of course, as a kid, you go like, yeah, that's nice. Here's a kiss and a hug and bye-bye. You don't appreciate what it means.
No.
But he was my first and probably my biggest mindfulness teacher and coach. Yeah.
So it comes from there already.
So
beautiful, eh?
One day at a time.
And so is there a quote of someone else that you know, that in the mindfulness world, some of your teachers that you could share with us that are important to you?
Yes, I'm mindfully noticing that I'm struggling to find just one.
Oh, see, yeah, I don't, many I never, people have I never that.
I'll never like to prepare for interviews, so I didn't
thank you.
Prepare for this question. But so... there is one line from a poem, and it's the title of the poem, "Go and Open the Door." Go and open the door.
Wow.
It's by Miroslav Holub. And maybe you can put it in the show notes on the website, but "Go and Open the Door."
And what does that mean to you? Why is it so touching for you? Why does this...
Because
so much.
We will give ourselves, our mind will give ourselves 1,001 reasons why we shouldn't try something, why it will be dangerous to try something, because it's protecting us. It's trying to talk us out of taking a risk.
True.
Go and open the door. Do it anyway. There were millions of reasons why doing the Manchester Mindfulness Festival was a crazy idea. It was going to be expensive. It was going to be, it might already exist. People might think, who is he to do it? Who are they to do it? You know, we went and we opened the door.
And what did you find when you opened the door?
When you open the door and you step outside of your house, what do you find? One day the sun will greet you. The next day, it'll be raining. Sometimes you will see a car accident happening meters away from you. Sometimes you see a child smiling at you on their way to school. So to answer your question, you see what you see in that moment.
If you are aware, because that's the key. See, most people open the door, go out, and are still already thinking about the meeting they're having, about the argument they had, about So what you're illustrating here is actually beautiful, because it means that you actually see, that you actually are aware of what is happening in front of you. So, and within you. So maybe that's a beautiful answer to, you know, to let people know, anyone listening, that isn't it about being in the present, and is that not one of the how do you say that, the traps? Is that not one of the traps, that we are not enough in the present, that mindfulness is actually making you go more into the present moment, what we've talked about the whole time?
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. And so a very quick and often useful example comes from week two of sort of the standard 8-week courses. It's around perception. So when you go and open the door and you step out of your house in the morning and you see somebody you know and you wave at them and they don't wave back, that might be a scenario that many of us can relate
yes.
to. What's the first thing you think? I've done something wrong. I've upset that person or whatever. But that's a perception. That's all it is. It's a perception. And if in that moment you can catch that thought, like, oh, okay, I'm thinking this, but maybe there's more truth to this. You know, maybe that person is having a stressful morning. Maybe they just did not see me. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
But it makes
no assumptions. We make assumptions.
Exactly. Exactly.
True. Yeah, I agree.
But that's if you don't beautiful. Catch that moment, you are going to ruminate on that event. And take that stress with you into the office. You're going to then sit with that, take it out on another person in a meeting, whatever, or not. But yeah, there's a risk.
I like that. Let's finish off with that. With there's the one day at a time touches me a lot, and the go and open the door. Let's, anyone listening, maybe we can end with that together, Christoph. Just go and open the door. Thank you so much for this interview. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle. Likewise.
I will come back to the audience just now after this little break.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening in again. I really like this conversation. You can actually feel how mindful Christoph is in his life. The way he talks, the way he explains, you can actually feel that Christoph Spiesens is an expert in his own way in mindfulness. And I really loved the way that he was explaining how important it is, the awareness, how awareness, being mindful, makes more space for you, for yourself, creates more space within, but also is very beneficial in creating space for others. And I could feel that in our conversation, he creates space for me just to be. And I think that's a very important thing to do. Also, do not forget that he said about mindfulness, and I really like that, that it could be named bodyfulness, because it is so essential to go into our body, to go and feel again. You know, we are all living so much in our head. So it is so beautiful to use mindfulness to go more into your body, to feel the fullness in your body. I really like that. And so his whole way, how his whole journey and how he went from stress to authentic success is actually quite amazing. How it just started with a huge panic attack, and look today who he is, has become, and how he has become that expert that everybody goes to. So to mention the quotes and the statements that he gave us, I think can be very important, because I really loved it that he said, first of all, the first one that I remember out of this conversation is, as best as you can, as best you can. It reminds me of the fourth agreement of Don Miguel Ruiz, just do the best you can. And I really love that. And as best you can is about being and about doing. being the best you can and doing the best you can. And I really, really, really appreciate that little sentence. And the next one was one day at a time. Now, one day at a time for me has always been, and he was explaining about his grandfather or his great grandfather. And I want to say that my dad always said the same thing, one day at a time. And he always said, don't look backwards, live today, just as best as you can, live your day today, one day at a time. So it gave me a bit of goosebumps when Christoph was saying that, because it reminds me of my own dad and their philosophy. We can learn a lot from elderly people. I'm a grandmother myself, 62 years old, and I still learn a lot from elderly people. So the third one that Christoph was saying is go and open the door. Now, I think that is such a beautiful thing to say at the beginning of this year, in January 2024. Let's just go and open the door. What does that mean to you? Go and open the door. Which door can you open? Which door can you go through now and see the opportunity? Go and just do it, because that's where the magic lies, the miracle lies. Open the door out of the comfort zone often. So I think that is a beautiful thing to go for the week to come, to go and feel, what does it mean to you? Go and open the door. I am going to leave you with this for now. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.